You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, wow. That thing didn't play.
Oh, are we live?
We are apparently live, and I didn't click it.
Hold on.
Welcome, friends, to Pod Maverick After Dark. This is Kirk Henderson and Josh Bowe. You're joining us here on Monday, May 19th. It's a little before 9 o'clock. Sorry for the technical snafu there. It's the off season for us as well. You may notice that we had new intro music for the umpteenth time in the last several podcasts, and that's because YouTube took an original song and then told us it was copyrighted. Like a truly original song, and told us it was copyrighted, which is fantastic. So we decided not to argue with YouTube, and the man PandaHank41 made us a new intro video. So we got a couple of different ones that I'm probably just going to kind of pick and choose before, depending on how's it going. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's just have a new intro music every single time we record.
See if anyone notices. Or really cares. I mean, we're just at this hilarious part in the cycle where, I was thinking, I went on the Dumb Zone about a month ago, maybe more. I don't remember when I was on, but they used a minute long video clip as one of their social breakout things. And I keep getting tagged, which is, it's fun. I keep getting tagged in it. And like, one of the things I said was, all it takes is one bit of lottery luck to really change things. But before that, I had talked about how the Mavericks were really staring at like a nuclear apocalypse.
Right.
and what we are now, and we talked last Monday night, it was right after the lottery. We've not really talked online since, though Mavs Moneyball has published all sorts of stuff. And we had, your sort of immediate thought was, and you weren't alone in this, was, okay, the Mavericks win the lottery, but is Nico Harrison going to trade the pick? And we've since had clarification kind of thrice over from various sourced people that the Mavericks are not trading the pick. Now, are they not trading the pick because Nico Harrison doesn't want to trade the pick? Are they not trading the pick because Patrick Dumont has put his foot down and said, we're not trading the next white American superstar? Don't know. I don't really care. This has been a as peaceful a week as I have had as a Mavericks fan since Thanksgiving, maybe.
Right. maybe right before Luka, before Christmas, right before Luka got hurt, basically.
Yeah, I guess the Mavericks were playing pretty well in December, so that's probably
they had that really good stretch right before Luka got hurt, and I think everyone was like, "All right, this is the team we all thought it could be. It's our everything's on track." And then, yeah, since then it's been just a slow, dark descent.
They win the lottery, and everyone and their uncle had thoughts about how it was rigged and this, that, and the other. Then Zach Lowe gave his, did you listen to that, by the way? I know you're not really a podcast guy.
I didn't get a chance to listen to it, although I saw some clips, but I didn't listen to the whole thing.
So essentially he broke down what it was like being inside that room.
Yeah. He goes every year. He loves it.
This time he said was the first time where people within the room, because it was down to the last lottery ball. It was that close where if it would have been one number different, the Bulls would have got it, which is crazy because the Mavericks won the coin flip with the Bulls. And the sheer number of things, it's like for the Spurs to move up, like that's what's like driving me nuts about, oh, is this rigged for the Mavericks? The Spurs have moved up 6 times. Like that's so statistically unlikely compared to the Mavericks never moving up 16 times. It just shows you kind of how the math ends up working out. And anyway, he was talking about how even kind of like within the room, people were making jokes about would the Mavericks keep the pick or trade the pick. And so the last couple of days, even with all of this, there has just been rampant speculation because the Mavericks front office, i.e. Nico Harrison, does not garner much respect right now. And what I am at least, I say all this to say it is an annoying feeling, but I really actually think they're keeping the pick. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really feel this way now. Like, I didn't. I was kind of wishy-washy last week.
No, yeah, I know. I was pretty out there. People got mad at me for even suggesting it, and I get it. That's not what people wanted to hear that night. I was pretty steadfast in my belief that they were going to trade it just because I didn't, like... Nico is on the record as saying like he's not going to be here in 3 years when this thing goes bad. So like, why would he want to develop an 18-year-old? Like, none of that makes sense. But I trust the reporting because the reporting's been like it hasn't been wishy. Like the reporting is like no. They are like, you know, Tim McMahon, Mark Stein, people that would know, not just rumor, like people that are pretty plugged into what's going on with the Mavericks. Have been pretty definitive in that they're not going to trade it. So I trust the reporting. So I don't think they're going to trade it because that's as concise reporting as you're going to get in 2025 NBA reporting nowadays. So, I've changed my mind. And then it brings up a whole, I mean, there's like 8 angles we could take off that. Cause like one of the things I thought is like, well, if the whole point that they're keeping the pick is because Dumont won't let them take it, why are you holding on to
Harrison?
Yeah, like if you have to babysit him for making a catastrophic mistake, why are you even keeping him like that?
Yep.
But I don't know how rich people think.
Like Brian Cuban got mad at us at Mavs Moneyball. Brian Cuban, Mark Cuban's brother, a person I forget that exists except for the time that he makes news every now and again, like got mad at us for somebody writing another piece about that. It's just like, look, this fan base and it was Jake Kemp said the same thing on the Dumb Zone where he's just basically like, look, until this guy's gone, you're not really fully getting me back.
Hey, you know who else thinks that?
Who?
Dirk.
There's a bit, and there's just like, that just sort of hangs.
So, yeah.
It's a really odd thing, but I will say by and large, most of the vibes are excessively positive, and it's just nice. It's nice. Did you happen to watch any of my quick video with J. Kyle Mann last week?
I did. That was good. I learned a lot because, again, I don't watch college basketball
at all. So. Yeah, me either.
I remember I watched it and he talked about, you know, I think the thing that really stuck to me was like he was always a good prospect. Like it's not like he was nothing and then all of a sudden had like a miraculous leap, but like. The archetype is the leap is kind of what jumped off the page. Like he went from being, this is a no doubt lottery pick, you know, top 10 pick, but he's going to be like a defensive minded role player. And then within like 2 to 3 years, he was like, oh no, he is like a foundational potential superstar. And I thought that was interesting the way he kind of talked about Flag's development from being like, this is just going to be like a defensive badass role player to know he's like the guy. And the biggest thing was talking about his jumper. And I did watch, you know, I didn't watch a ton of his games at Duke, but I did watch some of the NCAA tournament. And when he was talking about his jumper, I was like, I mean, his jumper looked pretty good in the tournament. And then I looked up videos of him after I listened to your podcast of him shooting in high school. And it's like, whoa, like he has put like his jumper is night and day. Like it was pretty ugly when he was in high school and, you know, a little bit before that. And so I think that just kind of signifies the growth that he's had probably.
Do you remember the Spurs shooting coach name? Was it Chip England? Does that sound right?
Yep.
So Chip England was, he was essentially responsible for helping rebuild Kawhi Leonard's shot from scratch.
Yeah.
And I want to bring that up because there's been one of the like famous quotes about Cooper Flagg was an anonymous Western Conference guy who said like he reminds him of Kawhi. I have to think that is in reference to the offensive changes because
Kawhi was kind of thought of the same way for a while, mm-hmm. right?
And the question of can Coop, and this is just going to be an ongoing question. It's not something we're going to have an answer to for several years. Can Cooper Flagg be an offensive center point? And it's just such a fun thing to think about because when you combine this guy's age, and we've not really written on this, it'll get covered kind of at length. I think if he was 12 days older, he wouldn't be eligible for the NBA draft or younger. That's right. He is just the perfect age. He's going to be one of the youngest players drafted under the current CBA. And the growth chart to his game has started to sort of hit like the exponential level. You know, I think I mentioned this on the other pod with J. Kyle Mann, but the Dennis Smith thing where he was out his senior year and played for a bad team his freshman year of college, it really hampered his development. And we're seeing kind of the polar opposites with Flag, where a guy who is already known as a defensive force, and really watching his defensive clips is just hilarious. I mean, just hilarious.
Yeah, his lateral quickness really jumps out at you. Side-to-side speed.
You hate to say it, but guys look at him and are like, oh, white boy, fried chicken. And then he just apparates across the floor. Like, he is wildly quick. And the timing, the second jump part was actually something that I hadn't really considered before. I was watching a 3-year-old EYBL game today with Flag where he was doing stuff at like 16, where he was purposely missing off the backboard just so he could second jump and dunk it to get himself in. But you know what I mean? Cause guys kind of give up, stock goes up and you give yourself just that little bit of extra space. And so I don't know, like the offensive stuff is really, truly fascinating. The Mavericks, you know, I wish I would have had time today to watch Jason Kidd on the DLLS pod. I know he doesn't really say anything super interesting on it, but I still would have liked to have seen what his thoughts were with Flag, in so much that he can talk about him, just because the kind of questions that we're asking, the personnel that the Mavericks may have, and this will probably be what carries us into our break here. The Mavericks just have so many choices they can make now, and because of the seriousness of the Kaplan implications, they're going to have to make some pretty drastic calls the next several months.
Yeah, if they don't make a trade, their roster is very weird. Like, like they cannot, you know, think about this. If they don't make a significant change to the top six of their lineup, mm-hmm. then like, is Klay Thompson coming off the bench? Because I mean, otherwise, if you're starting like technically your five best players with Kyrie out, it would be Klay, Cooper, PJ, Anthony Davis, then pick a center. And it's like, I don't know if that, like, that would be a very weird lineup. It would be huge. You wouldn't have a point guard. There wouldn't be a lot of dribbling, but you would be huge and you'd be athletic and it'd be all arms. And there is like a sicko part of my brain that would want to like see what that looks like for 15 minutes to start an NBA game or whatever. But like realistically, there's no way they can go into the season like that, and they probably don't want to go into a season where they have to have talked to Klay Thompson about coming off the bench, because that's exactly what started his poor relationship, his relationship deteriorating with the Warriors. Like, I don't think he left Golden State to come off the bench for another team. Otherwise, he would have just stayed with the Warriors. Like, that was the whole point. So if he's going to stay in the starting lineup, you got to get a point guard in there. Okay, well, then now you've got two centers in Lively and Gafford. You've got Anthony Davis. You've got P.J. Washington. You got Cooper Flagg. Are you going to bring Cooper Flagg off the bench? That seems kind of weird. Like, they could, because he's a rookie and they could justify it that way. But, yeah, I mean, they are going to have to make some type of consolidation trade because they are so big and forward heavy. And literally their only guards under contract next season are point guards are Brandon Williams, Jaden Hardy, and Kyrie, and Kyrie's not playing till 2026. They have to get another guard in here.
And I saw Skin share something to the effect of, he's like, well, you know, Jason Kidd put the ball in Giannis's hands. Maybe we could do something like that.
They can still do that, but you still need to trade because you could do both.
Right now the Mavericks have an abundance of play finishers, and Flagg's passing acumen is actually quite impressive, and I definitely want him involved as play initiator. It's like,
I would love to see some point Flagg minutes for sure.
That's right. But also, his engine is one of his biggest sets. Like, I think, and I mean this, I have to keep reminding this myself. So I'm not, if anybody takes this person, I hope I don't come across as offensive here, but like, we've gotten a little ISO ball brained the last 6 years collectively, where it's like most teams don't play with a guy that has 35% usage rate. So we're going to have to sort of adjust to what we were seeing more towards the end of the year with more sets, more actions. There's not going to be Spain pick and roll spammed seven times in a row. Right.
Right. And they were starting, even with Luka, they were starting to
go
towards that direction. So they could do it. And there's something to be said about like, okay, so instead of having one heliocentric star, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. They're now going to go, maybe they just lean into, okay, we might not have a hub, but maybe we can put five guys on the floor that can all do a little bit.
That's right.
And then that maybe you can maybe get defenses thrown off that way. And again, that's what they were leaning towards even with Luka, because that was the biggest problem in the finals was, hey, Luka, you know, you have to do everything. And we've got four guys standing and watching, and you can't really beat a team as good as that Celtics team in 2024 if you've got maybe one or two guys on the floor at a time that can dribble. Well, now it's like, okay, now you got Cooper that can do a little bit. You got Kyrie, you got Anthony Davis, you know, and then if PJ is your fourth best, you know, driver on the floor, you know, that, or, you know, creator, I don't want to say creator or, sure, you know, just dribbler, that opens up a lot. Cause you know, there were times in the finals in 2024 and times this season where he was asked to be like the second or third best, you know, offensive, you know, initiator, like dribbler, like driver, someone that can attack closeouts. So if they can move PJ down a rung, if he's still on the team, you know, I could see how leaning into that philosophy could work. But yeah, I mean, Gafford's up. This is Gafford's going to be the Gafford's last year on his deal. Reporting already says he wants to be paid like a starter. I mean, the Mavericks are not going to pay Daniel Gafford starting center money when they have Derek Lively. You have to imagine, you know, I guess I don't know for sure. So you would imagine he's potentially on the block, and then PJ is due for an extension. So they probably have to make a choice with PJ or, you know, God forbid Anthony Davis, which I don't think will happen, but that's the more interesting conversation to me is if they called Houston or Milwaukee or something and it was like, hey, what would you, you know, what does Anthony Davis do for you? Cause that would also clear out some of the logjam too, but I mean, obviously, I don't think Nico would trade Anthony Davis at this point. It's just interesting to think about. But yeah,
for sure. Well, and then there's the element, and I don't think you touched on this, but it's one of the least favorite things that I've had to settle into the last several years. And this is no shot at CBA Mavs, our buddy Scott. But the fact that you need like a team accountant to help you explain what's possible and impossible for a team is kind of maddening. Like Jason Kidd said today on the DLLS pod that the Mavericks would be a intriguing free agent destination. They aren't, but it's not because of anything other than the fact that they don't have, like, they're like $70 million over the cap. With the drafting of Cooper Flagg puts them firmly over the first apron. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with what the salary cap apron is, it's an extraordinarily restrictive thing where once the league's year starts, like the league business year, if you're over that apron, you are dealing with penalties, which include not being able to use like player exceptions. It sucks. And like right now there was this one, the one woman who I thought was like a Nico burner or whatnot, who just spends all her time talking about how Nico's a good GM. Doesn't matter. It's like, oh, he's created these exceptions with all these trades that they've done, which is factually true. But if they're over the apron, the Mavericks can't use those exceptions. The apron is designed to curb spending harshly by inflicting harsh penalties. The second apron is even worse. And I don't think the Mavericks are going to push the second apron, but they just have to make some sort of consolidation trade in order to get down under the apron to start the season. Otherwise, they're in a really restrictive place.
Yeah, I mean, they've got four starting caliber 4 and 5s positionally. Yes. Like Gafford, Lively, PJ, PJ, AD, Flag. They got five. Mm-hmm. Five players that can start basically two of your five positions. Or you're playing some guys out of position, which doesn't hold up. They have no guards. Nope. So this is a logic thing.
It's really not a criticism. Like I've taken some odd heat here, and I don't really understand why, because Nico Harrison built a team for Luka and then traded Luka, and this is the repercussions. And now they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and that square peg being Cooper Flagg, who is ultimately your team's future. So things just might get weird for a while. I'm not in a place to criticize those like the potential moves. I don't feel like doing that. That's not fun, but it's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind.
No, yeah. And while they are limited cap-wise, like they can do some trades. Like they've got a lot of mid-tier salaries. They still have some picks. They've got the Lakers first. They've got some future first that they can trade. As long as they stay below that second apron, as what you just pointed out, this comment right here.
Yep.
Which I think, it's really think they will. Yeah. Once they get to the second apron, then they can't, it becomes much harder to trade. But
frenemy of the podcast, Matt Moore, today, when we were discussing this, the second apron, said the league really made a mistake by not including an amnesty provision. Like they have in some previous CBAs, because what's going to happen ultimately, and this is not just a Mavericks problem, I think 20 of the league's 30 teams are currently over the cap, and some are over the aprons already with rising salaries that are outpacing kind of the ability to deal. It's like, oh, player X deserves or blah, blah, blah. You know, they're just sort of slotted into the CBA based off of, time and league service. Is you eventually get more money than is actually feasible for the books, and not enough teams to be able to sell down bad salary to, because you're not allowed. Like you can't just, it's a really restrictive thing. And, like, and I kind of think the league swings in at some point and is like, guys, we need,
like, I know Kevin Durant wants to get traded out of Phoenix, but like, it is going to be very hard for Phoenix to trade Kevin Durant. Like,
yeah.
When you're in the second apron, the salaries have to match. Like, you cannot take in a cent more or send out a cent.
Which is why, like, who's the Utah Jazz guard everybody wants right now?
Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton makes $20 million a year. Like, you can't trade PJ for him right now.
You could.
Yeah, I think it might put them even closer. I don't know. This is where.
Oh, well, you'd have to add in some. Yeah, if it was one-to-one, you could.
Yeah, that's a problem. And it's like, you got to really get there, and that's excessively difficult is what I'm getting at. Like, use any trade exception. You can't use anything. It's just a bitch. Anyways. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to do some four-player reviews from guys, because the season's over. And, we do these every year. We've not done them yet just because we haven't really wanted to, and now feels like a good time to start. So Josh and I will be right back if I can actually get the ads to insert.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, we'll see if that actually worked. I'm losing my mind about this. I really look forward to somebody at Odyssey telling me that I've been just doing this wrong for 6 weeks and like no one wanted to show me. That'd be very funny. Anyways, if you're new to the show or interested at all, please go ahead and click the subscribe button either on YouTube or on your podcast feed. This Friday, I will attempt to go back to hosting the Happy Hour podcast, which I've done a couple of times. I do it about 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday. When my day job slows down some, we can talk Mavs, we can talk lottery. Earlier today, I uploaded a two-hour-long live mock draft that Mavs Moneyball guys did just kind of for fun. It's an interesting conversation, particularly if you've never heard a lot of the guys that write for us. Many of them have appeared on the show before. It's also up on YouTube if you want to see them. It's like it's a Zoom call. So they had fun with it. We didn't anticipate the Mavericks getting the first pick when they decided to do. So it's one of those things where, like, for content's sake, getting the number one pick and then getting told that the Mavericks are absolutely going to take Flag has sort of taken the wind out of the creative sails. That said, we still like talking basketball and like talking prospects. So that's what's going on. So, all right. I don't really know how these player reviews are going to go, but we're just going to kind of talk about four guys, talk about their seasons. We'll try to be quick, though. The first one, it's going to be kind of very difficult to be quick. We decided to lead off with Luka Doncic, who for me, if I was giving him a letter grade for the year, just gets an incomplete. We'll be thinking about this season and how it happened and sort of the various sliding doors moments for a really long time.
Yep, especially as we watch the NBA playoffs unfold. Mm-hmm. And you look at the team that the Mavericks lost to, not even making it to the conference finals. And you look at the other best team in the East, also didn't, the other 60-win team in the East also didn't make it to the conference finals. And you're and you're looking at how vulnerable OKC has looked through, you know, through the second round, and you think about how well the Mavericks have matched up with OKC. Yeah. Even this season, by the way, they've played OKC well this season. And yeah, you think about the what ifs. Like, you think about if they could have just gotten this version of the Mavericks healthy, the one, you know, right before Luka got hurt on Christmas, like, they're the title favorite. I would imagine they're, you know, if they get through the route, like, they would be the title favorites. Like, it makes you a little sick, because, like, they really did fix the things that plagued them in that finals loss, and they were showing it, and they were getting better. So, yeah, that the what ifs, especially as this, like, you know, it'd be one thing if Cleveland just kind of was rolling, and or Boston, you'd be like, okay, well, you know, OKC, Cleveland, and Boston are just so good, you know, maybe you can't dwell on it too much. But with the way the playoffs have unfolded, I don't know how Mavs fans don't think, well, you know, what would have happened if they didn't trade Luka and if this team could have stayed healthy. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and there's, you know, for after 7 years with Luka, kind of eight for me, to be quite honest, this is always going to be a difficult season to sort of think about for a lot of different reasons. Some of them personal, all of them all kind of tied together. There's also elements of things where it's like, once you get flag, it makes this a lot easier to kind of move on from. And there are just elements about Luka's game, which we talked about, praised and criticized, that I am glad we just don't have to really worry about anymore. I personally wish him all the best, and I know, you know, our staff does too. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to continue to root for him, but he has this, that he came into the season hurt, and I don't know how he got hurt. The fact that he got kicked in the calf will never quite make sense to me. I don't think I've ever seen anyone kicked in the calf on a basketball court, but the point being where it's like, there's just elements of this where this was going to be a big season for him, and he took a major step back, and now this next season becomes it. All right. Is it the one where he really, really comes ready to go? And I'm just, part of me is glad that we don't have to worry about that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you've been fighting in the Luka wars for, like you said, 8 years, and mm-hmm. now you can rest from your post.
I had a friend, a really serious good friend, pull me aside and basically be like, in one of the group chats, he was just like, are you okay? He's like, and this was like less than 3 or 4 weeks ago. He was like, are you okay? Like, we're all getting kind of afraid to be able to talk about Luka, because your responses are insane.
That's fair.
And I was like, okay, I really forced me to take a step back, and I'm just glad I don't have to have that conversation anymore.
Yeah, you have to look on the bright. I mean, there weren't a lot of bright sides to the Luka trade. I mean, in every which way, whether you're rooting for the basketball team or you're from our position as content creators, media people that have to try to figure how to do these things, like, all that stuff sucked. The only glimmer was, yeah, like, not having to fight with people about why he should be MVP, not having to tiptoe around the occasional time we, you know, you want to bring up some of his flaws or criticize him because you don't want to piss people off, or you don't want to fight with your national media, you know, like, I'm glad I don't have to care what Kendrick Perkins says about Luka, because, like, I hated that. Like, I hated how much people paid attention to national media guys. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Like, Charles Barkley does not care about the Mavericks now until Flag is good enough to where he gets in his crosshairs. Like, it's just a relief. But
that's right.
If talk about Luka's actual season before we move on, like, you know, another what if. It was a shame because they were doing the thing. You know, we talked about how they could not win a title with Luka having a sky-high usage because it's never really been done before. And they finally built a roster and started weaning themselves off Luka ball. And again, that's not Luka's fault. The previous regime deliberately built the roster to maximize Luka having the ball all the time. So Luka had to have the ball all the time, and then they flamed out in the playoffs because you need more than one guy to do stuff. And then they finally, slowly but surely, built a team where, you know, you didn't need Luka to do everything, and you could actually ask Luka to play off ball because it doesn't feel like it's killing you when Luka's off ball, because that's kind of how it was, you know, his first 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And they were doing it. That's the thing. I'll never get, you know,
And people who doesn't, you can always tell who kind of understand what they're watching versus not. When there's people, oh, he's playing the exact same. No, he wasn't.
He wasn't this year. No, he was changing his game. The team was changing. They had better team to accommodate it. And again, people get mad because they're like, oh, well, you're calling him a ball hog. And it's like, no, you know, the roster, they built a roster. Like, that was very much their mission statement was, let's find cheap role players that we can maximize because Luka can make everyone awesome. And it's like, okay, that's great. And that wins you regular season games and you get to the playoffs and the other four guys can't do anything. And Luka has to have a 45-point triple-double in a Game 7 loss. And it's like, okay, what are we doing here? So, again, it's not a commendation of Luka. It was more just, can they build a system and team that allows them to play off ball? And they did it. They finally did it. And then they they pulled the ripcord on the parachute and decided, let's not do that anymore.
Okay. We'll talk about Luka. We'll always talk about Luka. You just don't really move away from that. The next guy I want to talk about is probably the person that I deserve – who deserves like the loudest apology from me. And that's veteran signing last guy on the roster, Spencer Dinwiddie. Played a whopping 79 games last season, led the team in minutes. And depending on the point of the year, in all honesty, did a little bit of everything, was a different player in different points in the year to where some nights he was the scoring threat. Other nights he was the distributor. Some nights he was the foul hunting, foul drawing maestro in a grifting way that really like peak James Harden would be envious of. And I appreciate what he gave the team is kind of where I'll start with Spencer.
Yeah, that's fair. He gave them way more than you can expect. Especially when you consider the Luka trade and the Kyrie injury. I mean, the fact that they put him in an elevated role like they did, like the fact that he led the team in minutes and he was still relatively productive. Like, it could have been, you know, think about how bad this season was. Think about if Spencer was playing like he played for the Lakers or for the Wizards. Think if you got that version of him this season. Like, it could have gotten way uglier this year if he wasn't, again, he wasn't like incredible, but if he wasn't as good as he was, they might not have even made the play-in after the Kyrie injury. Like, he really kept them afloat in a lot of ways that I didn't expect.
Where I had took real beef with his season was actually after Luka got hurt and Jason Kidd was like, okay, we're going to run the Luka offense with Spencer Dinwiddie for 6 weeks. And that was where the season ultimately fell apart. It was the toughest point in the Mavericks season, and they had the least number of guys available. So it's really difficult to say that's one particular guy's fault. It's just not. It's the way things shook out. But the moment they traded Luka and all of a sudden they're running some very different sets, I just can't help but wonder what would have happened had Spencer Dinwiddie been allowed to be the distributor much more than he was the scorer at certain points. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him because I think he played so much this year and was actually, you know, his numbers were right in line with his career averages. He's an 11-year veteran at this point. He couldn't hit, you know, threes to save his life. 33% from the floor from three, 41.5% from the field, pretty rough. His assist numbers don't blow you away until you kind of go look at individual games. And there's just times where it's like, oh, okay, wow, that was really something.
He never turned the ball over,
which is really pretty cool for a team that needed it. But, you know, it's like there are games here, you know, looking in late March where he has 12 assists, 7 assists, 11 assists, 10 assists, just kind of a lot going on. And he was pretty important to what the team did. Yeah, you're right. So you had 349 assists to 102 turnovers for the season. Like, that's a pretty,
that's a pretty
incredible mark. So it's, we talk about how the Mavericks need guards. I kind of bet they try to make a play for him to come back on a minimum contract. And I think he probably tries to seek more money.
He's well within his right to try to do that. Certainly we'll see how what trades or moves they make, but if they don't make a move for another like starting level guard, you know, if he doesn't get a bigger than a, you know, minimum veterans minimum offer elsewhere. And that, like, you know, he's basically just comparing veteran minimum offers from different teams, and the Mavericks don't make another move for a big guard, like, his opportunity would be here, you know, without, with Kyrie out, because the way you can get paid is if you get more chances to put up numbers. So if all things are equal contract offer wise this summer, I would imagine he would probably choose to come back here, because he can basically, you know, presuming the Mavericks don't trade for a stopgap starter, he could start the first 30 games of the season, maybe.
Right.
So
right. All right. So that's Spencer. Who else did I say I wanted to talk about?
You had Caleb Martin and Derek Lively for the
final. Let's get the Caleb out of the way, because wrote the preview on it. Is that even up? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's up. It's funny. It's really, I don't usually get this mean anymore when I write stuff on the site, but I wrote this before the draft lottery. And I thought it, like, you know, everyone's kind of pissed, or no one would really even be looking at the site, you know, presuming if the Mavericks just got the 11th or 12th pick, you know, everything's still effed and the outlook is still just as dreary. But now that they're going to get Cooper, it's very funny to kind of read it, like, why is he so mad about Caleb Martin? Like, the Mavericks are going to get Cooper Flagg. But I wrote this, you know, a week before the draft lottery. So, he was terrible. I mean, he was horrible. Not really his fault, but that trade, I've said it multiple times, the Quentin Grimes for Caleb Martin trade is so bad that it almost made the Luka Doncic trade look tenable. Like, it was so bad that you could legitimately ask, what was the worst trade the Mavericks made this season? And I think you have to almost pause.
Now,
it was that bad.
Is that because of how bad Caleb Martin was, or because of how good the outgoing player was?
I think a little more outgoing, but also it didn't matter if Caleb, like, even if Caleb was as good as he could be, like, say, when he was good in Miami, it still would have been a horrific trade. The trade was bad the moment it was made. Like, even if Quentin Grimes played like he played like in Dallas and he did that in Philly, like, let's say he just kind of kept doing what he was doing and didn't explode in Philly, it would still, like, in terms of just asset management, it was horrible. Like, how do you trade the younger, better player and the best draft asset? Like, how? Like, how do you do that? How do you, you know, I don't think trading, when the trade happened, I remember saying, like, these two guys straight up, that actually, I still wouldn't agree, but I can see it. But giving up a valuable second round pick, which it ended up being the 35th overall pick in the draft this year, I don't know how you do that. That's the part where I'm like,
just
I've heard defense like, oh, well, they've only got one roster spot. They didn't want to waste their final roster spot on that pick. And but
they're building for KD.
Yeah. I think that's what that trade was. Yeah. I think it was, Nico talked to his cap guy and said, how do we make the KD trade work this summer? And they said, okay, well, we're going to
move these guys. We need a contract. These guys are going to backfill these guys with the 4-year deals.
That's the only reason it was made.
And you know, it is what it is. But Caleb Martin might not be an NBA player at this point. He looked terrible.
He was terrible. He didn't play for a month. I mean, you know, the trade had to be for ulterior motives, you know, in terms of like what they want to do this summer, when he failed the physical and they could have canceled it and they still did it. And they didn't really get much back. Like, they amended, you know, they talk about, oh, they amended the trade and they got back a second round pick from Philly. It's like, what? Like, you got back, they got back like a future second. That it's like one of those
2030.
Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, if they amended it and they weren't giving back the Philly second rounder that they gave up in it, like, then maybe I could see it. But the fact that when they had the chance to cancel it or amend it to make it better for them, and they didn't care. Like, they're like, all right, whatever. That's clearly, they must have made that trade to grease the wheels of something. Because you get, you know, Grimes is going to be a restricted free agent. They probably wanted Martin's salary slot to slot into something to match.
A crisp $8 million, money. Which is not a, it's a nice figure. No, it's a thing you could add to do lots of different stuff.
Yeah. But Caleb Martin, the player, was awful. When he played, he was bad. He didn't play for a month till after the trade.
Which clearly, like, and I and this is just so funny because the Mavericks, who's the Mavericks old trainer? Casey Smith, their whole crew up in New York got awarded Trainer of the Year awards this year. And then there's the story about McMahon and all their training staff kerfuffle and fuckery and things being wrong. And then them clearly, like, the Mavericks clearly didn't understand how badly Caleb Martin was hurt.
Right. Yeah, so. It was bad. And then when he played, he was like, I tried to pick his best game and he didn't hit 10 points in a game this season. And then the games that he got close, like they either lost by a billion or he shot like 3 for 14 to get to his 8 points. And you're like, okay. The only nice thing I'll say is I thought his perimeter defense at times was actually like really good. He had a couple of good moments, and you could kind of maybe see what they were going for there, but just awful. Like they should have, the pick they gave up should have been what they got back for trading a player like Grimes. Like
right.
It's just, and it's silly. I feel bad for Caleb. Like it's not his fault. Like now he gets, you know, he didn't choose to get traded. He didn't, you know, he was hurt. Like he tried to play. Like, so again, it's not on the player, but yeah, it was just bad. We can stop talking about it. I've already talked too much about it.
Well, he's going to be on the team next year, so we'll talk about him again.
Will he?
I don't know. You would have to. He's got 3 years left on that deal, man. You're going to have to send something out with him, and the Mavericks don't have anything left. Maybe we'll see. Who knows? I'm not good at cap stuff. All right, then the last player we're going to talk about is probably one of the more interesting ones. We're saving it till minute 42 of the podcast or whatnot. But Derek Lively II, in his second NBA season, played just 36 games, averaged hair under 9 points, 7.5 boards, so whopping hilarious 70% from the floor. But I will simply say I find myself concerned about Derek Lively, and we'll start from there.
Yeah. We were probably his two biggest fans or supporters during the season. I think we both had conversations during the season and even during the playoffs where we were like, is he the second most important player on the team? And it wasn't a disrespect to Kyrie Irving. It was more just
role.
Like, this guy is transformative. Like he is transformative. Like the thing about rookies is they're not usually good at defense is the last thing rookies typically pick up. And he was one of the best rim protectors in the league last season. And he was one of the best team defenders last season. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have voted him for all defense, obviously, but like he made a case. I mean, like he was seriously incredible for a 19-year-old, 20-year-old guy there, especially big man, which there's so much responsibility for big men defenders. And that's why sometimes it takes rookies centers. It takes them a season or two to really get acclimated and be the quarterback of a defense because it's kind of their role. So the fact that he did it so quickly and he was such a vocal, important player on the team, like it was incredible. I was one of his biggest fans last season, and I think that might have maybe tinted, like, my expectations for him were through the roof, not even factoring in like stuff like wanting him to be a three-point shooter. Like I don't even think about that stuff. But I think that kind of led to being disappointed with his second season, even though if you just kind of look at it on paper, it wasn't, aside from like the injuries, it wasn't really that bad, but the line didn't keep going up as high. And well, I think that made it feel worse than maybe it might've been.
Tim McMahon's story about the training staff and some of the fuckery that happened with his leg, I think is probably your biggest asterisk to this whole conversation.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to know that what I'm about to say next, understand I know this, but I still got to say it anyways. 164 games, 164 regular season games. He has now played 91. That is 55% availability. That is not good enough. I understand some of the injuries are freak stuff, but with his style of play, him and Chet, you just got to worry if the high flying element just lends itself to more injuries, because these guys are expected to cover the corners. They're expected to cover the paint. And some of the ways he's gotten hurt is almost entirely the result of his style of play, don't you think?
Yeah, it's something he needs to learn. Like his boundless athleticism is both it's a double-edged sword, because it allows him to make plays no one else on the floor can make. But it also puts him into situations that maybe he doesn't need to always be put in. Like, he thinks he can get every rebound, he thinks he can make every stop,
yeah,
which is great. And he doesn't, and you would rather teach someone to scale back than to scale up in terms of effort and motor. But I think he needs to learn to be selective with his athleticism, because you don't always need to be in the scrum. Like, live to fight another day is something I think he will need to eventually learn to stay on the court more consistently. And again, that's a great thing for a young player to need to work on. If you had it too far the other direction, like, you know, sometimes guys just never, they don't have a motor, they never get it. Like, I think it's much more workable to deal with a player who clearly gives a shit in a way that you want almost have to tell him, hey, let's calm down, let's focus, let's be smart about how you play. You'd rather do that than the other side of it, because sometimes guys just never get it. Right. So, and he's smart and he's vocal, and like, I think he can get it, and hopefully if they can get a training staff in here that can take care of him, that's a big part of it. But yeah, like, he needs to learn how to use his athleticism in a smarter way. Not to say he's dumb about it, but just, you know, he needs veteran stuff to learn.
So let's go back to the start of the regular season into the preseason, where Jason Kidd held the starting spot as a carrot for him to get to, which he did not take fully until his eighth game, the team's 12th game, where he then started. And then every game he was available for the rest of the regular season, he started, which I found particularly interesting. He was having a pretty good season. It wasn't a great season, but he was showing like why the Mavericks considered him such a valuable part in their future. And then he got hurt. Yeah, and then Luka traded, and then he came back and he was bad. Like, he was real, real, real bad. He was against the Clippers in the second game of that back-to-back, where the Mavericks just got blitzed off the floor. He was a negative 13. It was just his second game back. The very next game that he played against the Lakers, he was a negative 17, where he didn't do – I mean, he has no positive statistical contributions except for a single steal. He had 6 points, but it's like off of oops. And I need to see – when he comes back this year, if the Mavericks have to find a role for him and get him going early, because in the limited double big minutes that we saw with him, he looked lost, and that concerned me.
Yeah, I mean, he had a total of 5 points and 7 rebounds in the play-in tournament in the two games.
It's not good.
In the season-ending loss to Memphis, he played 20 minutes and had 0 points.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And 6 rebounds. Yeah, he did not look like the same player when he came back. Again, makes me concerned about the training staff stuff, although the Mavericks have already made some changes there, so they got to get that part right. The thing that's most enticing is his ability to act as a dribble handoff hub. He more than doubled his assist rate from rookie to sophomore season, and he had some games with 8, 6, 5 assists. He averaged from December through to when he got hurt in January, he averaged about 3 assists per game, which for your rim running, defensive minded, lob catching center is pretty great. Like for the archetype, the role that he is filling, like he is not a Jokic type center very clearly. Like for that type of player to average 3 assists a game over 2 months, that says something. Like he has a feel and touch for the game that I think neither of us anticipated when he was coming out of Duke, that he showed a little bit in his rookie season. I think he showed off even more in his sophomore season. Then he got hurt and it went away. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to get him healthy and get back to that. And I think the thing that was interesting was before he got hurt, he did play in January all those games without Luka. So, you know, there was a sense like, oh, is he just a Luka merchant? Well, Luke, you know, in January, he averaged 10, 8, and 3 assists. His scoring definitely went down. He's going to have to figure out some ways to score without Luka getting him easy buckets. But his rebounding was good enough, and his passing was still really good.
You're right.
So that's the thing. They need to get him back on that track. I think his feel for the game and expand the toolbox doesn't mean he needs to shoot threes. I don't think he needs to shoot threes yet. But like his passing, like that's something I think is tangible that they.
Well, that's where this current logjam in the 4-5 becomes interesting, because all of these guys are multiple in a way, and I'm using a football term there. A lot of these guys can do really. Davis is a good passer. Flag is a good passer. PJ is a pretty good passer. Gafford, I don't know if we've ever really seen him, but it's a talented guy. I'm interested. Is what they, but I just think that with the logjam, are they going to be able to find the minutes? And that's the tough part.
Right. No. Yeah. Absolutely. They'll have to figure that out. The spacing won't be as good because, you know, when he was playing in January without Luka, that was also without Anthony Davis. So he was playing the 5, and you know, you had a floor spacer
sure
at the 4. So there, he's gonna if Anthony Davis is still on the roster, he's going to have to, they're going to have to figure out ways with Davis and Lively on the floor. They have to do different stuff. They can't just do Anthony Davis pick and pops and Anthony Davis isolations and Anthony Davis post-ups. Like, they got to do these big, big pick and rolls, inverted pick and rolls. Let Davis be a ball handler. Let Lively be a ball handler, but let Davis set a screen for Lively at the elbow and see what happens. Like, they gotta get funky if they're going to play these two bigs to try to utilize, because they're talented guys.
Yep.
So let's see the talent. Don't just let them sit in the dunker spot.
It's my favorite point in our podcasting cycle, where I hop on and I'm like, how are Josh and I going to get to a half hour, and we kind of blow past it. So that was fun. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Seen anything you like? Done anything you like?
No, I've literally not watched anything like the last 2 weeks. I did finish the new Doom game.
Ooh.
This afternoon, and it's fucking awesome. I love it. If you guys have, a computer or an Xbox, it's on the Game Pass service. Mm. So play it through there if you need to, because it's one of those $70 games, $69.99, $70 games. So it is expensive, and it is.
Game Pass is sick, though.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a tough value sell at this time when, you know, I know.
No, it's sick. Like, it for like, I was bitching today about a Dallas Wings shirt costing $45 from Nike, and you could get 2 months of the top tier Xbox service with that. And if you play games more than twice a week, it's worth it.
Like, yeah, and it's like if you don't have it, like, justifying $70 on a 15-hour
single player, the real bear.
That's hard. Yeah, that's hard. That's I
didn't play at all during the basketball season, and not on purpose, but I kept my mid-tier membership alive for like $15 or $18 a month, because I was like, what if I want to play something one night? Yeah. And it's that kind of thing. Yeah. What did I want to do? Wanted to tell. Oh, my well, we'll talk about it. But like, so I'm playing Oblivion again, and my favorite thing about this is all my social feeds now hit me up with these like 15, 20 second, 30 second videos of things that I had no idea about in a game that I played for like 800 hours earlier, like 20 years ago. So it really makes me laugh, where it's like, there's just all this stuff. And like, the reason everybody liked Oblivion 20 years ago, and why Skyrim is still quite, everybody likes it, but it is still, sometimes it's more heavily criticized, is Oblivion has no guardrails. So you can just break the game six ways from Sunday in like really funny ways. And so it's just, I've had a great time screwing around with it. Then my buddy, one of my buddies is just berating me to play the French RPG. Yeah. I can't even remember
Expedition
what it's called.
Expedition 33.
Yes. And he's just like, this is the best thing I have played, read, watched. He's like, I am selling my seat. He's like berating me. He's like, this is the best thing. You have to do it. And so that'll be something I try to get to this offseason. We will see. We will see. And then, the funny part, guys, everybody in the chat's like asking about Andor, which I've spent the better part of the season trying to get Josh to watch. Is like, the best part about Andor now is that there's like a small chance that some of it comes to like the movie theater screen, which is, it's that kind of show. It looks like a movie. So I recommend it to everybody. I even made a Facebook post about it. That's how ridiculous I am. I was like, guys, you need to watch this.
It's important.
On
Facebook, it's important.
Everybody's got limited time.
I know.
And that's the hard part, which is like, Mary and I are wasting time watching Jack Reacher season 3, and it is just so horribly good. Like, it is great second screen watching as I'm like messing around with my phone following the Nuggets game or whatnot.
It's the show with the guy that's like impossibly jacked?
Mm-hmm. He's just this big burly, and it's a ridiculous show. It's based off these novels. He's a military investigator, and it's so dumb, but it is so fun to just watch. Now, even Sarah's in the chat saying Andor is a, don't worry, Jonathan, I watched Invincible, but I can't sell Josh on more superhero content. We got Lion Leo asking me some basketball questions too, which is tough. Because I had already passed the basketball, but to answer Lion Leo's questions, because I appreciate active chat participants. I thought Aaron Gordon playing with a grade 2 sprain was cool as shit, and everybody worried about him. I appreciate it, but he's a big boy. Though I did learn after the fact from Tim McMahon today that Aaron Gordon said he was surprised that it was a grade two sprain. He said it felt like a strain, but not one that he wasn't going to be able to play on. And then his second question about thoughts on OKC's defense just being a lot of fouling. Oh, brother, you are not wrong. And I'll just put it to you like this. I am really glad I don't have to watch any of the NBA conference finals or finals.
Also, not too dissimilar what the Mavericks did to get to the finals last year.
So, I mean, I hated watching.
They got really physical. Which was good. I liked it.
But they got really physical using a small hacking a big. That's not like that. And granted, which coming from a player that I have advocated for being on the Mavericks for almost 5 years. So it was very.
I feel like it's been 10 years at this point.
Yeah. 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 We all hate Lion Leo. You have found your people. We are a Lou Dort hate fan club. There's a lot of Lou Dort hate in this podcast, but guys, all right. So Friday, 3 to 3:30 ish, somewhere in that time zone, I'll post a video. You can join live. We can talk Mavericks. We can talk NBA. We can talk Andor. I don't care. We will do some more stuff. Fair number of shows in the feed. I got to find some more people to talk to about Cooper Flagg. One of the challenges of the number one pick is it takes all the drama out. And I don't just want to like constantly inundate people. Like I wanted to have, some of the people that I've had on in years past, but it's just this, like Jason was, or I'm sorry, J. Kyle Mann was just kind of an expert. So it's just, you know, it was really, really something. Got anything else, Josh?
No, I think I'm, I can't believe we talked for an hour.
Yeah, we like each other. I know. There is an AD trade piece coming to the site eventually. Our man Sudarshan turned in 5,000 words, and we were like, why did you do this? But we will get that up on the site at some point. We're going to have to split it up for him. He admits that it is increasingly unhinged, which is like, we're in unhinged territory, which Josh and I, being older adult men, and Josh being an actual editorial wizard with the site, kind of gets annoyed at things that verge on nonsense. But I whip. I'm like, yes, more nonsense. We need to make it through the off season alive. So we'll see. Guys, thank you so much. This has been Kirk and Josh. We will talk to you soon. Go Mavs.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.